Most of you are aware that God's purpose and plan for the ages has a double purpose. And this morning I want to take a little time in going back and never first to review these you understand. You've always heard me say that all subject matter is best learned from the whole to the part. And the reason for that is because it's particularly true of Scripture. If you don't have a birth of the whole subject matter, then you have truth, but you can have truth out of place. And truth out of place causes confusion, and that's where Satan comes in. That's why we have so many different denominations, so many different, quote, religions, from Buddhism to Hinduism, whatever. It's because Scripture is not seen as a whole. And the whole is the idea that there is a double redemptive purpose. To see that, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21, as you'll see there on the handout. The first scripture that we'll look at is chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. And here in this chapter 21, in this verse 1, we get what I call an overall view of Scripture. The purpose of the ages. Now, that's not the eternal purpose. Actually, we don't really know what the eternal purpose is. The Scripture does not tell us much after the age that we live in, nor before. It's perceived in different scriptures, but the Scripture deals not with eternal things, but with the purpose of the ages. And we see that there in the first verse of chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That is the big picture. Why? Because evil exists. And I think one day we're going to go, oh my gosh, I had no idea that this is so big. It's not just earthly, it's heavenly, and therefore it's universal. We can't comprehend what a spiritual being that is evil like Satan can do or has done. But we can know what that purpose for our time is. And that is that there will be one day a new heaven and a new earth. We know that there's two agencies in Scripture that's dealing with this. The first is, you see there, the kingdom. And that covers Genesis, the nation of Israel. They wanted, what did they want? They knew nothing about going to heaven. Never heard of going to heaven. Clear through till the book of Acts, at the end of the book of Acts, all they wanted was a nation and a king, like the nations round about. It was all through the Old Testament. It was still, the kingdom was still being offered when Christ came. They crucified him. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the kingdom was offered again during Paul's ministry of 25 years, and he wrote all of those books that we've looked at before on this chart. He wrote these seven books, and this is where the gifts, tongues, healing, Paul's ministry, all the way up until this Acts, the end of the Acts period, the kingdom was being reoffered again to the nation of Israel, And in Acts 28, they walked away from it again. They have nothing to do with it. Then, at that point, this second agency, the church of the one body, is introduced. Ephesians, Paul becomes a prisoner at Rome. And during that next time in prison, he writes these seven epistles. They have to do with the fact that there is two parts. There's this heavenly calling. God never intended, man never had any idea about heaven, because never revealed until the church of the one body in Christ was revealed by Paul in those seven later books. By the way, on the Damascus Road, that was 37 AD. For the next 25 years, he's ministering. They're chasing him, they're trying to kill him, and they finally catch him. But anyway, then in 62 AD, 25 years later, this is revealed. And on the Damascus Road, if you'll remember, Paul rose up and the Lord said, Paul, I have something I want you to do. It's that which you have seen, a ministry about that which you have seen. Well, he had seen the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, and that which will appear. For 25 years, he didn't know what it was. But when he became a prisoner at Rome, it came, there was to be a heavenly calling, and that the church of the one body in Christ's purpose was that. So we have two spheres of operation, heaven and earth, two agencies, the kingdom and the church of the one body. Look next on the list there that I handed out. Two time periods. Since the Catabole, that's the fall in Genesis 1-2 that happened. It was destruction and judgment upon the earth. And that was spoken of all through the Old Testament. But when Paul comes along and writes Ephesians, it's revealed that there is to be this heavenly calling. So let's look at Matthew 13 first, of the time periods. Matthew chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Matthew 13, 34 and 35. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. And the key there is from. Now compare that to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God, our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So here's something different. This was known in the mind of God that this would come about before the foundations of the world. And the key there is before, but also in verse 3 where he speaks about spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Up until that time, the blessing was earthly. It even was physical. During that time, they had the miraculous gifts. Tongues, healing. Peter, even his shadow would heal people. But once this heavenly calling is revealed, those miraculous gifts have disappeared. And so when I talk about truth, out of place, you can't take this truth and put it over here. And vice versa. So we have two spheres of operation, heaven and earth, two agencies, the kingdom, the nation of Israel, and the church, the second one. We have two time periods that God's speaking of, that occurred since the foundations of the world, and those that were in the mind of God before the foundations of the world that was revealed by Paul when he became a prisoner in 62 AD. There was two ministries. The next line there, the two ministries, the prophets in the Old Testament, prophesying. Eventually, Christ, the baby Jesus, burst on the scene. He, Jesus, and the 12, the ministry all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, John the Baptist, all in this ministry are offering the earthly kingdom. And it's covered not only by Paul and his ministry, but by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the other 12 that are a part of this. Of course, after the keystone there in the middle, after that, after 25 years, it's revealed to Apostle Paul what had never before been revealed, and that was this heavenly calling with the church of the one body. By the way, what is the purpose of this church of the one body? Well, it is to minister to principalities and powers in heavenly places. Up to this time, they were ministering to the earth and about the earthly kingdom. And the bride and the wedding guest and all of that with regard to earth blessings. But here, the Lord reveals to him about a need to minister to principalities and powers in heavenly places. That's the purpose of the church, of the one body. So, there again, two ministries. Two gospels. Look at the next line, the gospel of the kingdom. Look back at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, beginning, start with verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching the wilderness of Judea, out of the wilderness, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is the kingdom, the earthly kingdom of heaven come down. Christ coming to earth. The King is here. Compared with the gospel of the grace and the glory of God, turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. What is the word gospel? What does it mean? It means good news. So there was good news as far as John the Baptist was concerned, and the 12. The good news was that here comes the King, and here is the opportunity that's been spoken about all through the Old Testament to have this earthly kingdom with the King. And what did they do? Like a bunch of morons, they crucified the King. But it was good news. Here, Paul is talking again about the gospel of the blessed God which committed to my trust, and that was that there was this other purpose has to do with the church of the one body and the heavenly calling. Two. Don't ever get that out of your mind. The eternal purpose includes the double redemptive purpose, as I call it. Two hopes. There's two Greek words. One is epiphania, and another one is parousia. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The word here is parousia. That is his coming. He's coming to earth. At that time, the resurrection, the first resurrection will take place of what are overcomers. Those that love not their life unto death, they're resurrected. The kingdom is set up. The heavenly city descends. And the nation and the overcomers rule and reign during this earthly kingdom. At the end of that time, there's another resurrection referred to as the second resurrection. And those are the others who are then resurrected. But this first resurrection has to do with the parousia, the coming. Now, there's this other word, epiphania. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 is a few pages back in your Bible. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, that is, and there's other verses to go along with that, but that's his appearing before the Father to present what? The church of his body. And their purpose is what? To minister to principalities and powers in heavenly places. Whereas the nation was an earthly type of ministry, an earthly good news. And here we have a heavenly gospel. And Paul speaks about it. And he actually refers to it sometimes as my gospel. Pretty egotistical, I guess, but if God revealed it to him, you know, he can call it my gospel if he wants to, but it's good news. So, two spheres of operation, earth and heaven, two agencies, the kingdom and the church, two time periods, since and before, destruction and judgments, two ministers, ministries, Paul and of course, the 12 and their time, two gospels, gospel of the kingdom, and the gospel of the grace of God, sometimes referred to by Paul as my gospel. Two hopes. I don't have any hope for this parousia unless I live a long time. I may see it, but I doubt it. But my hope is in the epiphania. And that resurrection, by the way, is a resurrection that is out from among the dead and is actually before the first resurrection. And it's not revealed in that first and second resurrection because it wasn't known. But there Paul says, what is it? Paul said, I want to attain that which I haven't attained. He had attained something. What had he attained? Well, he probably attained the first or the second resurrection. But the other resurrection is based on reward, the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul attained to that had never been revealed until he wrote these other books. So, two hopes. The parousia and the epiphania. My hope is in the second, the epiphania. I might see the parousia if it happens today. I might see it. I would like to see it. Why would I like to see it? Because finally God's patience runs out. And when he comes in wrath. And people are not going to have a clue as to what they think they're going to get away with anymore. It's going to be absolute righteousness and absolute justice in that first coming or the parousia. The last line there, Christ is all in all. We're in the book of Colossians. Look at chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. At this point, when Christ is all in all, the earthly kingdom will have been established, the church will have appeared in the heavenlies, and Christ will be everything to everyone all in all. Go back to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Hear the prophet speaking. Verse 22, page 1014. For as the new heaven and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. So hear this double purpose is being prophesied by the old prophets, a new heaven and a new earth. Nobody probably understood it. They didn't realize. Who would have ever thought that there was iniquity in heaven? But the angels, don't forget, the angels were given a free will, just like we have. They could make their choice. They could believe God or not believe God, just like we today. So some of them decided they don't believe what God said. And so there was an insurrection among the ranks of the angels. And of course we know there's, Scripture tells us there's 100 million of them at least. What they have done, I don't know. But it's not been good. And so when they left their ranks, they left a void in the heavenlies, and the church of the one body, as revealed to Paul here, will fill that void and minister to principalities and powers. Be a witness, if you will, I think, a witness, if you will, to the fact that if you've ever lived in the flesh and you have a spiritual body, you'll never want to go back to a fleshly body again. One other scripture, turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Here we find the same truth as written in Isaiah, written by Peter, chapter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, as you know, this is kind of a spur of the moment review of things that we have covered, but it never hurts, I guess, to go back and take a look at the big picture. This is the big picture, the double redemptive purpose. Two spheres of operation, two agencies, two time periods, two ministries, two gospels, two hopes, where Christ becomes all in all. Any questions? Tim will answer them if there's any questions. Does it make sense? I hope so. Because it's the truth, and it's the truth in place. you're not doing this. You can take the scripture and prove almost anything, any subject, if you take truth out of place. Now, when it says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, where do you divide it? Well, most will say, well, between the Old and the New Testament. Well, that's a division line. But you go basically 400 years of time. You go from the Hebrew language to Greek. You have the same city, Jerusalem. You've got the same people, and they're still looking for a kingdom and a king. So not a whole lot changes. But when you realize that one of the big division lines in Scripture is this verse in Acts 28:28, it is a huge division, and it's separating an earthly ministry and a heavenly calling. And until you get that, you will never completely understand God's purpose for the ages. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We're grateful that you are mindful of us, that you've provided a written word whereby we can understand and know your eternal and your purpose for the ages. I thank you for each one here. I pray that we will continue to study together, that we may have a unity together, that we all may be rooted and grounded in your love, that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.